Do you have the Moreshes Moshe? I think John was very kind in photocopying this. And you should have a page that says on it, Tof Kuf Tes Vav. Now, in event that you don't have such a page, can I give you one? This is going to be the next page, Tof Kuf Tet Zion. But I don't seem to find, unless it's here in this pile, another copy of Tof Kuf Tes Vav. But you know what? I have the original here. So you can, if you don't mind taking a picture of it or whatever you like to do. So look for Tof Kuf Tes Vav.
Just that one page.
Well, no, I have one copy here of Tof Kuf Tet Zion. Again, I think if we take the effort of just looking in here, we'd probably find.
We can see that it's got some heavy margins.
Does anybody need Tof Kuf Tet Zion? I have one more copy of Tof Kuf Tet Zion.
Oh, hold it. Tof Kuf Tet Vav.
Oh, here we have Tof Kuf Tet Vav.
Oh, four sides.
Is it?
All right. It doesn't matter. All right, so if you want to take that, and then there was another copy of Tof Kuf Tet Zion. Okay, then?
I'm
going
to make...
You got it?
Good. I don't know how far we're going to get today, but hold on to those pages so we don't have to photocopy them again.
What shall I copy?
Well, that you have to work out with Yosef. Yosef, you found Tof Kuf Tes Vav?
Yeah, so
there's no need to copy Tof Kuf Tes Vav. Do you have Tof Kuf Tet Zion?
I have Vav Zion.
Because I think I gave out a few copies of Tof Kuf Tet Zion just now.
Okay, we have the Zion, let me take it.
I have Yud Tet.
Okay, you may have it here in this pack.
Yud Tet. Yud Zion.
Okay.
Tet Zion.
You have the Zion.
Yeah,
uh-huh. That's my only copy.
Okay, so I'll make a copy of it. Wait, what do you need?
Well, again, if you have the original,
the
then.
Is right,
so maybe right. The original, how many copies do you need? Because if you only need one copy, you have the original. Yosef Rav Kahana V'Komar Kara Shemolach Babosar Osu Lechel Boroseach. What that means is that Malicha is considered resicha. Normally, blia requires heat, but sometimes you don't need heat. And there's a substitute for roseach. The first category, that the first case or category of that sort is going to be maliach. Maliach means that it's salted. So you have a piece of meat, and you salt the meat, and the dam is now absorbed by the kara, by this receptacle that's holding on to the dam, and that kara can be described as bolua beisur dam. Now, why was the kara bolea dam? After all, everything is cold. The answer is that since he's salting the meat to remove its dam, moliach hareyu kiroseach. Rashi adds the following comment. Lefisha nivla bahadam vinosein tam rishon bahavi ki iser gomur. Now, Rashi indicates that there's something called a tam rishon. And the tam rishon is the tam that's bolua in the kli as a result of either bishul tzli or in this case resicha or moliach. And the achronim say that it seems from Rashi that if it would have been a Tam Sheni, and how much more so a Tam Shlishi, it would be Mutter. And this is a little bit of a problem for us. Why? Because Tam Sheni is Mutter in a case of what's called Hetera Bola, where we have not Barnata Hetera. So you take the fish and you cook it in a Fleshik pot. The Fleshiks came into the pot. and then from the pot into the fish, and everything is still mutter. That's called not bar not, dead tera. But Rashi's addressing the case of dam. Dam is not hetera bola, but rather isura bola. And therefore, af elef ta'amim asur. Even if you were to take 1,000 different foodstuffs and one after the other cook them in sequence in a kedera asura, meaning in a utensil that has a blia of isura, then everything is going to be asur. What does Rashi mean here when he distinguishes between Tam Rishon and Tam Sheni? You know, if Rashi would have addressed himself to milk and meat, then we understand that that's a case of a terabola. But Rashi's talking about a case of Dam, which is Isura Bola. And he adds the following postscript. He says, V'efsha Sharashi Savar Shagam Tam Sheni Bi Isura Shari. That's a pellet. I mean, we don't know of any Rishon who maintains that Tam Sheni, which is called Nat Bar Nat, is Mutter in a case of Isura Bola. So that's point number one. Point number two. What kind of Kara are we dealing with when we say that this Kara has a Blia of Dam, and therefore if you cook anything in this Kara, it becomes Asur? So the first Shita will identify that with the Rashbah. The Rashbah says we're talking about a kara she'ena minu keves, which means that there's an accumulation of dam that drips from the meat into the bottom of this kli, and there's no way out. Avol binu keves, if the dam could simply go through the kli and like a strainer and it goes out through the holes, then it's mutter. That's not called a blia of dam. And it would seem that the Shulchan Aruch accepts the Rashba at least b'shem yesh omer, meaning as one valid opinion. Now we go on to the second opinion, which is that of the Ramban. The Ramban says that even if it is a kara minu keves, which means the dam doesn't accumulate in the bottom of the receptacle, nevertheless, we still apply the principle of blias dam of isur. And finally, we have a third shita, which is the shita of the Tur and the Agos Maimonios, which you'll see on the top left column. He says we're talking about a kli eitz minukov or kli cheres she'ena minukov, meaning the following: that if you have a wooden utensil, a wooden receptacle, then the blia is a very slow process. It's not zbang. It's not quick. It's not immediate. If it is a kli eights, then we're going to make a distinction between Minukov and Eino Minukov. No, I'm sorry. What are we talking about? Cheres. Okay, Cheres and eights. Let me get this straight. Cheres. Well, 1 second. Which one? I'm sorry, I got mixed up. Which one has a greater propensity of Blia? Just 1 second. Kli Cheres. Just 1 second. A Kli Cheres means that. Just give me a minute, my boss. I'm sorry. If it's a Kli Eitz, just the opposite. That this is counterintuitive, but he's saying that a Kli Eitz has a greater propensity of blia, and therefore it makes no difference whether the Kli Eitz is Minukov or not Minukov. In all cases of a Kli Eitz, we're going to apply the principle of Blias Tam Isur in the case of Moliach Harei Kroseach. So it means if I salt meat and I remove the dam in a wooden utensil, then it matters not whether there are holes at the bottom of the utensil. In both cases, the Kli Eitz has a tendency of being Bolea. Masha Enkin, in the case of a Kli Cheres, again, this is counterintuitive, the Kli Cheres is not Bolea unless it's an Eino Menukov, unless there's no way out and the Dam is clogged up, is backlogged in the bottom of the Kli. Not sure exactly why this is so, but maybe we'll understand it as we go along.
Maybe it just takes more time.
Right. I would have said, on the contrary, that in the case of a Kli Cheres, we always consider it as a, you know, that the process of Blia is instantaneous, you know.
I don't understand. When you do Malicha of meat,
yeah,
you're doing it on a wood that has holes, and that's considered to pass it through.
And even though it has holes, what happens is that there's no accumulation of dam, but nevertheless the kli eats immediately when the dam hits the kli, it is bolea the dam. So that again, even though what happens is, here's the surface of your kli, the dam comes down and immediately goes through the holes of the kli.
Yes.
Correct? You know, it's like, what example can I give? You know, in the, like in the Beis Hamikdash, they had, you know, the dam used to go out into the, it what were they called on the bottom of the bottom of the Mizbeach? What were those?
Shittim.
Shittim, excellent.
Yeah.
So it would go right through. And that's what's happening here in the Kli Eitz. But it doesn't matter. Even as the dam goes through these holes, it gets absorbed in the walls of the Kli, such that if you were to use that Kli for something else that's hot, then it would be Bolei the dam.
Yeah.
And use it again.
And you don't want to use it again. Right, unless you want to use it again for Malicha, you know, that's fine. You can use for Malicha from now and infinitum. But if you want to use it for other foodstuffs that's had there, you have a problem. But in the case of Kli Cheres, what we're going to say is that Afsha Eino Menukov, even if it is, just 1 second, Afsha Eino Menukov, the language here is driving me crazy. Just 1 second. What does he mean? Af she'eno menukov. Just 1 second. Svakos the Iri bekli. Again, we're saying that the kli is bolei adam. I don't want to get caught up in this because the main our main discussion about nap or not is beginning on the bottom left. But just give me a minute just to clear the air here on kli eitz and kli cheres. What does he mean, Iri? Bekli eats menukov. In other words, when should have said afilu bekli eats menukov. No, this doesn't make sense. Iri bekli eats menukov. One second. Also, you can't use it for hot food. Iri nami bekara menukev. I said even in a kara menukeres. Minu kevis, nevertheless, there. So, Iri bekli. I don't understand. He sort of said, Iri afilu bekli eats minukav. Why does he leave out the word afilu? If you take a look, for example, at the Ramban in the previous paragraph, the writer of the Ramban, it says, Iri nami bekara minu kevis, which means afilu bekara minu kevis. No, it's even though the kara is minu kevis, nevertheless it's what? It's asur. And now number gimel is Iri bekli eitz minukov, and nevertheless it's asur, correct? So I don't know, he leaves out the word nami, but then in the next sentence he says, oh, bekli cheres af she'eno minukov. What do you mean af she'eno minukov? He should have said dafka eino minukov. Is Afsha Eidom Menukov? What does he mean, Afsha? He's talking about a case where it's mutter. I don't know how to fit this in, Rabosa, but he's, for some reason he jumps here. Again, I'll write a letter to the editor here, but he seems to jump in number gimel to the case where it's mutter, where you're allowed to reuse the kli for hot food, for hot kosher, parva, heter. In the case of a kli eitz, you're allowed to reuse that kli eitz that was designated for malicha if it is menukov. In other words, if it's menukov, then it's mutter. In the case of kli cheres, it's going to be aser even if it's eino menukov. I'm sorry. No. In the case of kli eitz, af she eino menukov, it's not, just 1 second, it's not menukov. And what? And it's... It's aser. No, it's mutter. If you have the word af, then you're going to have to talk about mutter af she'eno menukov. So it sounds like he's saying that there's no problem in a klicheres, which is counterintuitive. I don't have access here to the tour. Maybe if we looked up the tour inside, it would be a little bit clearer. There's some sort of obfuscation over here. The Iri Hacha Dafka B'Klicheres. Klicheres Afsha Eino Menuko. No, no, no. Let's see the next paragraph. Maybe it'll clarify. Otherwise, I apologize. I want to get to the part of the Shia that I was interested in. La'alocha nechluku ha'poskim ha'shulchan aruch kasav de'bekli menukov mutal lechol roseach v'yesh osrim. And the Ramah writes, yesh li zor l'chatchila ubi d'yeved mutar. So the Shach says the following. So we're talking about now the status of a kli shemolchim bo'basar and it's menukov. And the Shach is going to tell you, afilu shar kelim yesh li zor l'chatchila ubi d'yeved mutar afilu b'shel cheres. Clearly he's operating with the assumption that we're more machmir in a kli cheres. And the chiddush is that we could be mekel b'dieved even in a kli cheres, and that's a case of menukov, which means that he's relying on the shita that although in general we want to be machmir, that because we want to be machmir in a kli cheres, therefore you would think that even if it's menukov, it would be us. So kamash b'lod, that although l'chatchila we're machmir for that, but b'dieved, we're not going to answer it if it was menukov. Okay, so this entire paragraph is focused on the case of menukov, which you'll see on the second line in this paragraph, right? Menukov. And then the Marshal says that in Shar Kalim, I guess other than Cheres, is Mutal Lechol Roseach Afilu L'chatchila, if it's Menuka, U'Bishal Cheres, also Afilu B'dieved. So on the one hand, the Marshal is more Mekil, on the other hand, he's more Machmir. He's more Mekil to allow you, in a case of a Kli Meluka, if it's not Cheres, to L'chatchila use it for whatever you want to use it. And on the other hand, he's more machmir than in the case of shel cheres, if you went ahead and you used the cheres for another foodstuff, then b'dieved the food is asur, even though the kli cheres is menukov. Even though it's menukov. Fine. Okay then? So let's take a look at the last paragraph on the left side of your page. We're going on in Rav Kahana, and we're up to the Sefer of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says that Snon shechatcho besakin muta lechol bekusach my taima omer abai hayatera bola. So we're trying to understand why Rav Kahana allowed you to take this radish that was cut with a fleshka knife and use it with kutach, which is milchiks. And Abai says it's because of a tera bola. So the Dvar asks the following kash. We have a Mishnah that Kederish Abishal Babasal Yavashal Bachalov, that you can't use a Fleshika pot for milchiks. Why don't you just say Hetera Bola? What's the difference between using a radish that was cut with a Fleshika knife and cooking milk in a Fleshika pot? In both cases, there's a Blia, but Elvai, the Blia is a Blia of Heter. The tirates the svile the law meaning agav churfe the tsnon bola or agav duchke the sakina bola elahavi no saint tam bar no saint tam valkein bar docha ogrera sagi. So the Dva offers the following resolution. He says the following, that in a case where there was no bishul, can we apply this principle of hetera bola? In a case where there was bishul, then that's a profound tam. Through the bishul, it's a tam gomur, and hetera bola is not going to help you. So you can take a fleshika pot and cook it at milchiks a million times over. All the milchiks will always be asur because that's a case of bishul, and bishul is mavliya and maflit tam gomur. However, if there was no bishul, but rather there was a davar charif, or alternatively there was duchka de sakina, and we'll have to see about the combination thereof, but in those cases, Rav Kahana was matir. And that's based on a terebola in a situation where there was no bishul. Now, does Rav Kahana, in such a case where there was no bishul, allow you to just simply take the tznon and put it into milchiks? Says the Ritva, no. He's going to require one of two things, either hadacha or grera. Hadacha would mean that he takes the tznon and he rinses it off, and grera means that he scrapes off the top surface of the tznon. So again, even though we're applying the principle of hetera bala, and there was no bishul, it's only charifus or duchka de sakina, nevertheless, Rav Kahan admits that there is some surface level of blia, and to get rid of that surface level of blia, we need either adacha or grera. And I think yesterday we suggested that maybe the surface level of blia in this case is a result of the sakin, not a result of the tznon itself, but rather of the sakin. And what do we mean? Not the blia of the sakin, that's called duchi de sakina, but rather the shamnunis al pnei sakin. And now we're up to the ksav sofer, the son of the chsam sofer. My wife and I were recently at the Ksav Sofer's Kvura, his Makam Kvura, in Bratislava, if you ever heard of it, which is otherwise known as Prezbur. So he suggests the following, that when Abaye introduces Hetera Bola, he means the following, that there's a possibility of Te'ima. I have to set off some music here, so we'll have a choir here. All right. Now, you and I think that Hetera Bola is a halachic principle. It's a category in halacha. And it changes the laws of Blia and Tarovis. The Ksav Sofer says, Nein, Abaye, when he refers to Hetera Bola, he's basically saying the following. Just scratch the words Hetera Bola and substitute the words, give it a taste. Now, in the case of a kara shemolchu babasa, you can't give it a taste because you might end up tasting dam. But in the case of a sakin shechat chotznon, again, you may decide whether you like radish or not, but let's say you like radishes. My father loved radishes. So then just take a bite of the radish and decide whether there's a tam of basar in the radish or not. That's what a terebola means. Because technically, if it was Isura Bol, like the case of Dam, you have no possibility of taking a bite of it because you're risking the violation of an Isur Dam. Mm-hmm. And here we can turn to Tuf Kuf Ayin Tes.
Tes
Ayin. Omar Abaye. Hai Hetera Bola Vahai Isura Bola. Omale Rava Ki Bola Hetera Mayhavi Sof Sof Hai Hetera Di Osiri De Isurahu. Now what it means is that Rav is attacking Abaye, and he's saying, okay, Hetera Bola, that's wonderful, Hetera Bola, but what are you doing with the tznon? It's got a Hetera Bola of fleishiks, and now you take the tznon and you're eating it together with milchiks, with kuta. So that's called Hetera Diosi Lidei Isura. And the question that we have now is whether or not Abaye accepted Rava's argument and he rescinded his original position. Some Rishonim are going to insist that Abaye only offered his interpretation, L'chatchila, in order to satisfy Rav Kahana, but he himself never accepted that. So he has here a lineup here of Rishonim. And the first group of Rishonim, headed up by the Rashba, they're of the opinion that Abaye eventually accepted Rava. And if you cut a tznon with a fleishik knife, Abaye agrees that you're not allowed to eat it with kuta. However, the Ritva quotes other Rishonim, amongst them the Itur, and they want to say that no, it's possible that Abaye La'alocha would allow you to eat this snow that was cut by a fleshika knife in a milchika concoction. And although he was only interpreting Rav Kahana, it could be that he accepted Rav Kahana. But yet the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava, Hai Efsha Lemitameh, Vahai Lo Efsha Lemitameh. Which means that Rav at the end of the day accepts the possibility that you could eat this snon in milchiks, but only if you taste it. As we said before in the Ksav Sofer, and this is the source of the Ksav Sofer, that since it's a terebola, you could easily test out whether or not this tam. So the Ritva asks the following question: Maika Mashmalon, what is the big, great, sensational, astounding chiddush of Rava that because it's a terebola, you can taste it? What is the kamashmalon here of Rava? Says the Ritva, Salka Daita Chamina, Kevon Debola Bosar Bn, Nachmir Bo Mipnei Chomer Bosar Bechola. So the Tvo wants to say the following, that we find many chumers with regard to basa b'chol that don't apply to other isurim. For example, you're not allowed to put salt next to cholov because you might get some of the cholov into the salt and the salt will be used for meat. Or for example, if you bake a fleshika piece of bread, we're afraid you might eat it with milchiks. All these Isurim we had, if you remember, all these Isurim of Halal, Al-Gavi Shulchan Echad. So we would have thought, within the context of the Chumras of Basa B'Cholov, that since this Sakin was Bolea from the Basa itself, you took the knife and you cut into meat, hot meat, that we should be more Machmir, and we're not going to rely on Te'ima. Again, there's Iker Chasim and HaSefer over here. Why shouldn't you rely on Te'ima? Maybe it's just a gzeiras chachamim, that the chachamim, when they enacted the laws of tarovas, of basa b'cholov, they upgraded the requirements, and they did not fall back onto ima. Very technical. The Shach asks a different question. He goes back to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana made a distinction between the kara from alicha and the stone that was cut with a knife. Says the Shach, in both cases, we will ask the following question: can we taste it or can we not taste it? If we can taste it, then it's mutter. If we can't taste it, then it's aser. So therefore, Rav Kahana had no, there was no push here for him to distinguish between the Reish and the Sefer. The Reish and the Sefer really, you know, where he says in the Reish it's also in the Sefer it's Mutter, that's not really so. It all depends on, is there Te'ima or is there no Te'ima? So basically the Shach's Ha'ara here is more of a linguistic Ha'ara, meaning that the formulation of Rav Kahana leaves us wanting, because instead of differentiating between one case of being us and one case of being Mutter, he should have differentiated between one case where there is a possibility of Te'ima and one there is no possibility of Te'ima. And now we get to the Chiddush of the Prima Gadim, which is on the bottom right of your page. And the Prima Gadim says that although we can rely on tasting, so that why not just cut this snon with a fleshika knife and then we'll taste it and we'll decide whether it's got fleshiks. I mean, in the worst case scenario, we'll eat it with fleshiks. That's also okay. Says the Prima Gadim, nay, you're not allowed to take a knife, which is fleshiks, cut parva radish, let's say in this case, for the express purpose of eating it with milchiks. But the Eved, if you went ahead and you cut a radish, then we can talk about te'ima, and we may be able to matter it, or maybe we won't be able to matter it, and so forth and so on. But to allow you l'chatchila to cut something that's parva with a fleshika knife in order to establish bittel, meaning in order to mix that radish with milchiks, and then say, well, it's batel, and we're going to go through the process of bittel in one of two ways, either by tasting it or by figuring out whether it gives taste or not. and being Meshayer B'Shishu. And the Rosh Yosef in the Prima Gaon wants to be medayik this in the language of Rava. Rava says that Tznon Shechatocho B'Sakin Mutali Ochlo B'Kutach, and that's called a Lashon D'Eved. He doesn't say Mutar L'Lachtoch Tznon B'Sakin Shel Basar, but rather he says if you have a Tznon and you cut it with a sakin shel basa, now you want to know, can I eat this with milk? That's already a b'dieved situation. But never did the Gemara allow you l'chatchila to cut snon with a fleshig knife for the express purpose of eating it with milk. So it's a little bit similar to what we have, ein mevat l'niser l'chatchila. Now let's take a look at the top paragraph on the left column on Tov Kuf Ted Zayin. I'm just going to have to take a little break here. Unless I drink something hot,
can I get it for you?
My voice is going on.
If
you can fill it, no, just fill it up with hot water, because I already have cold water, so I'll be able to drink it immediately. They ordered for me a microphone. I don't know if it's going to work for me, but I have to be a little bit careful about straining my voice. So we'll see what happens if that turns out. Now we want to study the Ran. The Ran says that he doesn't understand. The Gemara says that under what circumstances will we be stuck with a problem in the case of Malicha, and we want to use this kli for what? For cooking some sort of heter. In a case where there's no kfela, we can't find a goyish chef
to taste it.
To taste it. Mm-hmm. So the Ran says, Maiko Mashmalan. We had the case of Tznon, and we said that the case of Tznon is different than the case of Kara, because in the case of Tznon at Terebol, you can simply taste it and determine if there's basar in it. And in Kara, we didn't have that option unless we have a guy to taste it on our behalf. So why does the Gemara have to introduce the case where we don't have a kfela? In other words, we looked for a kfela up and down, you know, we sent out a message, and what do they call it, Facebook, and nobody responded. We couldn't find a kfela. I mean, obviously, we've already made the distinction between Snon and Kara, that Snon lends itself to a tasting, and Kara does not, unless you have a kfela. If you don't have a kfela, then you're back to square one. You don't have a possibility of te'ima. The T-rates, the Kamash Balon, the Lo Samchina Na Oved Kochavim De Lav Kfela. The Gemara wanted to emphasize that you can't just tap a guy on the street and ask him to taste your mixture and he'll tell you whether he tastes the Tam of Isra or not. It's only in the case of a Kfela. And here I would embellish it a little bit, Lefiani Yastaiti, in the following way. A Kfela has his future at stake over here. He is being hired as a chef because he has the professional ability of evaluating food and telling you whether it has this taste or that taste. I mean, all of chef school is about tasting and getting the right taste. Now he's going to go ahead and lie to you.
If he would be wrong, he would lose his reputation.
Correct. And that's called Chazak al Uman de Lomari Uman Asayahu. And that's according to the Ran, what Al Gemara wants to emphasize here, that we need a kfela. And in the absence of kfela, don't just tap a guy on the street and say, you taste it for me, tell me if you have a blood, if it tastes like there's blood absorbed in it. We need a kfela. But now let's get back to the case of a tznon. In the case of a tznon, who's going to taste this tznon? Is it a guy or a Jew? Who's going to tell you whether there's a taste of fleshiks in the tznon after you cut it with a fleshik knife? A Jew.
Anybody.
If in the case of a Jew, we don't need a kfela. Why? Because we're not talking about professionalism in terms of the ability to taste something. We're talking about professionalism in the ability to rely on someone. If you have someone who doesn't have their manus, then the question is, do we have some sort of proof that would allow me to eat this food based on his testimony? Well, we don't trust his testimony. So we need some sort of evidence, and that's supplied by a kfela because lomara uminosayru. In the case of Yisrael, he has their manas. If he tells me that do you understand? The Ran is coming lafuke that maybe kfela is a matter of training and experience. No. It has nothing to do with training and experience. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is whether or not he has nemanus. And the answer is he doesn't have nemanus, but there's something called a kfela. Even though he's lacking in nemanus, we can use it. It's like you send something to the lab, right? And the lab tells you what the ingredients are. And they'll tell you there's less than 1% of ingredients X. And they send you back a whole printout. Would you be allowed to be, in kashrus laws, would you be allowed to rely on that? I mean, the truth is, in modern kashrus, we rely a lot on labs and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. And the answer is because, in that case, it's a certain professionalism, meaning that there's a scientist here who's able to tell you what the ingredients or what percentage each ingredient has. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about reliability. We're talking about credibility, which is called in Hebrew, ne'amanus. And that's the difference between a Jew and a Goy. A Goy has no nemanus. So the only reason we're going to rely on the Goy is because of this external evidence called Lomara Nushayu. That's already a Raya. And that Raya is no less reliable than a lab printout. You know, if the computer prints out and tells you exactly what's in this foodstuff. Okay. Now the Shach has a Kasha. He says the following. Hechi muchach din zeh. How does Gemara prove this law of kfela? Dilma mairi hecha de lekanami goy de lav kfela. Alright, so this we'd have to see inside. Itmar. Oh, here's where we want to get up to for today. So now we're starting the shiur. Oh, we don't have that much time. But this is really where I wanted to start the shiur today. Itmar, dogim sha'olu bekar. So you cook fish in a fleshika pot. Rav Omar, osa liochla mekutach. Ushmuel, amamuta liochla mekutach. And the Gemara explains that Shmuel's sheet is based on a principle called no saint tam bar no saint tam. So we want to study now the haflaw, and the haflaw is going to give us an insight into what's going on over here. And Afla in turn quotes earlier poskim. Now, there's an issue here which I want to skip right now about sakana, which means that if you cook fish in a fleshik pot, then you have a mixture of fish and fleshiks. But we want to focus more on the isur v'heter part, not on the health part here. By the way, is there anyone who eats fleshka fish?
Fleshka fish?
Yeah. No, I don't mean mamash. I mean, let's say you cook fish in a fleshka pot. Anyone eat that? We don't know. What about the Sfaradim? They don't eat that either.
No, they're Sfaradim.
Because Sfaradim don't eat milk and fish. But I assume they don't eat meat and fish as well. I don't know. I have to check that out with my local Sfaradim.
That's a good question.
All right. So he has... on the next page, which you have hopefully Tav Kuf Yud Zayin in the first major paragraph, the Prima Gadol, he says the following: if you were to cook in a pot something that's parva, then would you be allowed to eat it with milchix? I'm sorry, I meant to say you cooked it in a... What did I say? I meant to say a fleshika pot.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
To be allowed to eat it with milk.
With milk. That's, I meant to say sorry if I messed up. Yeah. Oh. So the Rosh Yosef says that l'chora, that's the chiddushir of Shmuel, that dogim sha'olu bekara would be mutter lechlo bekutach. I mean, Shmuel says you're allowed to eat it with milchix. See, he says the following, that there may be a difference between dogim sha'olu bekara and eating that fish with milchix, which is mutter according to Shmuel, and the case of nisbashlu bekara. Because you might have argued that nisbashlu bekara is a more profound blia. if what happens is you have a tam rishon that goes from the meat into the kara, and then you take that fleshika pot that has an absorption of meat, and you put dogim in the pot. That's called dogim sha'olu bekara. The dogim, even if they're very hot, sizzling hot, they just came out of the off the grill. Nevertheless, how much blia of basar can they achieve when you're not cooking the fish in a fleshika pot? But what about the case where you actually cook the fish in a fleshika pot? It wasn't that you just laid down hot fish on a surface that's fleshik, but rather you cook them together. In such a case, perhaps Shmuel would hold that you're not allowed to eat that with kutach, and he would accept Rav Shita. So if you take a look in the... I'm trying to see where that paragraph is where he talks about the difference between olu and nisbashlu. Just one second. Oh. So if you take a look on the left column, numbers Beis and Gimel, you'll see on the second line in both paragraphs that he speaks about shebishlam im basar, that Shmuel should be interpreted in a more liberal way, such that he could be mekil to allow you to eat the fish with milchiks, even if it was nisbashel in the kara. Not that he put the fish down on top of the kara, but he cooked the fish in a fleshika pot. Mutali ochlam imakuta.
How come that differentiating between a ben yomon and a non ben yomon? Are these all ben yomon?
Right. So it could be that Rav only argues with no Saint Tom bar no Saint Tom, but if you add no Saint Tom lifgam into the picture, because it's an ben yomon, then even Rav would agree.
Yeah.
Our focus here is on the same day he cooks meat in a pot, and then an hour later he cooks fish in a pot. And that's called Dogim Sha'olah Bekara. That's called Not Bar Not, the Hetera, which according to Shmuel is Mutter. And you can take that fish and eat it with milchiks. But certainly, Lesman de Polig, if he cooked the meat in the pot yesterday, and today he's putting fish into the pot, that's already a different, that's a horse of a different color. That's already No Saint Tom Lifga. But his focus is on the question of Bishol, as opposed to Olu. Now, if you take a look at the first paragraph, which is called Aleph, that starts on the right column on the bottom, he says that Shmuel is based on the following logic: Ein bekoach tam sheni, lesar tam shlishi. So the basar that's inside of the kli is now a tam rishon. When that basar enters into the fish, that's called tam shlishi. Now you're eating the fish with milchiks, you're already up to tam shlishi. Did I get that right? So you went from tam rishon to tam sheni, now you're down to tam shlishi. And this is the opinion of the Ramban. All right, we'll stop here. I see it's time for mincha. Wish everyone a great Shabbos. And it should be a mazel tik a Shabbos. Be'ito u'bizmano. All right, so if you can make a note of it, that we're up to Tuf Kuf Yud Zayin. We'll see if we can.
Hope you feel better.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You may be pushing yourself.